When a recent game at Busch Stadium between the Cubs and the Cardinals was rained out, Cardinals management announced that the game would be made up at a later date as part of a day-night doubleheader. Now, in my many days as a baseball fan, I've been to all kinds of doubleheaders. I've attended Sunday doubleheaders, holiday doubleheaders, and twilight doubleheaders. I've never, however, been to what's called a day-night doubleheader, which, according to definition and tradition, is not really a doubleheader at all. In his acclaimed baseball dictionary, Paul Dixon defines a doubleheader as a set of two games played in succession on the same day between the same two teams and to which spectators are admitted for the price of a single game. Dixon adds that traditionally there's a 20-minute break. According to Dixon's definition, a day-night doubleheader is not a traditional doubleheader, and not even a doubleheader, because the games aren't played in succession and spectators aren't admitted for the price of a single game. In a day-night doubleheader, fans pay to see a game played in the afternoon. When the game is over, fans have to leave the ballpark, and if they want to see the game played that night, they have to pay again to enter the ballpark. It's a triumph for Major League Baseball of greed over tradition. When I was growing up a baseball fan, I loved doubleheaders, and there were plenty during the baseball season.
We got the set in, sunshine, fresh air, we got the team behind us, so let's play two.
In 1960, the year the Pirates defeated the Yankees in the World Series on Bill Mazeroski's dramatic home run, they played 16 doubleheaders, beginning with a twin bill on Easter Sunday. They also played holiday doubleheaders on Independence Day and Labor Day. By contrast, there are no doubleheaders scheduled in either major league for the 2024 season, and incredibly, some teams actually have the day off on holidays. I remember being at that Easter Sunday doubleheader in 1960 because the Pirates easily won the first game against the Cincinnati Reds and won the second game in a miraculous finish appropriate for the Easter holiday. Trailing 5-1 with two outs and nobody on base in the bottom of the ninth, the Pirates scored five runs, including a Bob Skinner game-winning home run, in a 6-5 victory. They'd go on to win the World Series that season with another miraculous home run. Early that Easter Sunday, as I've been doing for doubleheaders ever since I started going out to the ballpark, I made sure I had a dollar in my pocket to pay for a seat in the bleachers, then gathered up a shopping bag prepared by my mother full of chipped ham sandwiches, a Pittsburgh favorite, ding-dong cakes, and bottles of Tom Tucker cream soda, and headed to Forest Field, a 45-minute walk from my working-class South Side. As I was walking along, I'd stick out my thumb at a passing car, and usually a driver headed to the games would stop and give me a lift. I made sure I got to the doubleheader early so I could watch batting and fielding practice and chase down balls that were hit into the bleachers. By the time the first game started at 1 p.m., I had attacked my mother's lunch, and by the time the first game was over, so was my lunch. In between games, I waited until an usher guarding the entrance to the better seats was distracted and raced past him. By the ninth inning, I was sitting in the box seats just behind the Pirates' dugout when Bob Skinner hit his game-winning home run. The next day, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette ran a photo of the fans and players mobbing Skinner at home plate, and there it was, just a few feet from Roberto Clemente. I don't expect baseball bringing back doubleheaders or fans willing to sit through several hours of baseball, but my best baseball memories include going out to doubleheaders and not caring if I never get back. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.